Good morning, and thank you for joining us today, whatever time you're watching this. I thought it was very interesting that Jake shared with us Psalm 46, because on the way to church here to record this message, God is our refuge and strength was on my mind. And to be honest, I couldn't remember where it was from, and Jake had no idea. So I thought it was interesting that that God is bringing this forth, because I wonder how many of you are in a place right now where you don't know what day of the week it is anymore, and that this has become the new normal, that everything that you're doing now, that you've been doing for the last 4 or 5 weeks, is the new normal. And that's how it feels for me. I don't leave the house except to come here and do this and go for drives on Sunday afternoons, but I wonder how many of us are starting to lose our sanity and starting to get anxious to get out there and be with people because the weather's warming up, and you know, who wants to stay inside anymore? And so I was thinking about this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And maybe our circumstance isn't extreme enough to proclaim this, but maybe it is. I wonder how each of us are taking these circumstances on a personal level, where some of us do need to get out more than others do. I mean, I think I could stay indoors for a long, long time and be unaffected by it, but not all of us are wired that way. And so I really do hope and pray that God has been your source of peace and calm, that he has been your source of strength, especially if you're struggling with having to stay isolated, having to stay away from people. So I really do pray that for you. I want to grant you God's grace and peace as you're listening to this, and know that he's always extending that towards you. And as we are just continuing on in my series, going through Mark very, very slowly, we are going right back into where I left off last time. It's in the same segment where Jesus speaks of one of his first parables of the sower and the seed. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 10 to 13 today. And this segment, these verses are the second section of the three that that Mark records in Mark chapter 4. The last time we looked at section 1, which is the parable itself, and then we looked at section 3, where Jesus explains what the parable means. And so we skipped over the second section last time on purpose, just to focus on the parable and its meaning itself. And then today we'll be looking into why it is that he speaks in parables. So Jesus in the parable reveals to us that there are four types of people in this world when it comes to hearing the word of God. There are those who don't actually hear the word of God, meaning that they don't understand the word that is spoken because their hearts are too hard to receive it. And then Satan comes and then snatches away what was sown in them. And there are those who receive the word with great joy, but as soon as tribulation comes because of the word, they fall away because their faith is not deeply rooted. And there are those that he reveals to us that are beginning to bear fruit, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things in this life begin to choke out their faith. And then lastly, he reveals to us that there are those who hear the word of God, meaning they understand it, they accept it, and they allow the word to take root in them. These are the ones that bear fruit up to 100-fold, as he says in the parable. So in this parable that Jesus tells the crowd, we see that there's a progression from the one who does not receive the word of God to those who struggle through it to the one who accepts it and bears fruit. And he also spends just the very beginning of the parable talking about the sower. And there's not much said about the sower, but the sower is very important in that he has one job. The sower sows the seed. And he sows it anywhere and everywhere. He just spreads it everywhere. No matter who would hear it and ignore it, and no matter who would hear it and accept it, he just spreads the seed regardless of where it lands. And so, like I said, today we'll be looking at the portion in between the parable Jesus tells and his explanation. And so we're looking at the question today, why did Jesus speak in parables? So if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 10, and Mark writes this, and he says that when he, meaning Jesus, was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Now, I'm sure that we've all asked the same question at some point in our life that the disciples are asking at this moment. Why not make it plain? Why not make it plain and simple, remove all doubt and silence all the questions? Why not just get straight to the point and just make it plain? Reading this middle section that we just read left me asking different kinds of questions, like, why hide the kingdom of God? Why keep it a secret from anyone? Is it not God's will that all be saved? And it appears that Jesus is speaking in parables to, on purpose, hide it from some and reveal it to others. And I thought that God didn't show favoritism. So really, there's a lot going on here that's starting to make me ask a lot of questions. You know, why are some excluded from perceiving and understanding the secret of the kingdom while it's given freely to others? So what is really going on here? And something that I'm learning is know your audience. Know who you're talking to. And I believe that Jesus knew his audience. In John chapter 2, verses 24-25, we read that Jesus knows all people, and he knows what is in a person. And this is one of the main things we need to keep in mind when asking the question as to why Jesus spoke in parables. Who is Jesus talking to, and what's the setting? What is he getting after, and why is he doing so? What is the purpose of speaking in parables, if there is any purpose to it at all? But I want to assure all of us this morning that there is a purpose to the parables. There is a purpose for the reason that Jesus spoke the way that he did. And we need to also understand that Jesus did nothing apart from what he saw his Father doing. And so he only was obedient to the Father. And if we know God, even just a little bit, we will know that absolutely everything that he does is with purpose. For he works all things for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. Please join me in prayer before we go any further. Father, we come to you this morning because you invite us to. We see clearly in Scripture that you invite all people to come to you. And it's a matter of, do we hear the invitation? Because you've spoken it to everyone. And so I pray that those who have not heard this invitation before are hearing it now, that they are invited to come and see God. They are invited to come and get to know him. And Father, as we look into your word this morning, may you give us your understanding, because we cannot figure this out with just our brains. We need your wisdom. We need your Holy Spirit to enlighten us to what the meaning of your words are, not just simply the words that we can read, but what does it mean to us? I ask for your clarity to come through my voice, that you would be heard, that only your truth would be understood, and that we could go further and then actually apply it to our current situations and to how we live. Would you convict us of your righteousness, so that we are convicted to walk according to righteousness, that we walk according to your Spirit and not according to our flesh? And so again, I ask that you would grant us your wisdom and understanding as we look into your word this morning. We thank you for all the work that you're doing, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to give some context to what we just read in Mark chapter 4, we'll just go quickly through the parable itself, and then we will read again verses 10 to 13, just so we can get the context of this whole segment here before we get into explaining why he talks in the parable. So Mark 4, verses 3 to 9 and then 10 to 13, Jesus starts off by saying, "Listen." So if you see that, there's an exclamation mark at the end of "listen." He just comes out and just says, "Listen." And that's very, very important, because you'll notice how he ends the parable when we get to it. "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And this is how he closes the parable, and he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so from there, going into verse 10, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables.'" And I want to interject right here a little thing that Matthew adds, because it really brings a lot of clarity to what Jesus is already saying. And Matthew adds, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak in parables." And that's Jesus' own words. "This is why I speak in parables." And so going back to Mark 4, verse 12, "So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" So with these who are around Jesus and the 12, I don't know if it was for respect or shame, but it was when Jesus was alone that he was asked about the parable. And whatever the reason, it's of utter importance that they asked, because the parable has exposed the condition of their heart. The parable has drawn them to ask. And so by doing that, their condition of their hearts are exposed. It's this genuine act of asking about the parable that bridges the gap between the hardened path and the other soils. It is in asking the question that the heart becomes accepting of receiving the words that have been spoken. Just by asking, you reveal that you do not understand, but that you want to understand, that there is a desire for understanding, and so therefore you ask the question. It is the desire for clarity and understanding that drives you to ask the question. And this is where we find those that are surrounding Jesus while he's alone. And because they've opened up to him with asking the question, he responds with a gift. And he says, "To you has been given the secret," or the mystery, "of the kingdom of God." Now, the words "given" and "secret" here are almost like two sides of the same coin. We need the one to help define the other, and vice versa. This word "secret" or "mystery" is used as something that requires initiation. Someone has to initiate it. It is a revelation. And there is no way that the secret, I think any secret for that matter, a secret can be learned, and it can't be earned. And it can't even be found by our efforts, because the secret is always hidden. And so Jesus is giving a secret that's been hidden in God for all ages up till this point. And so the only way the secret can be seen or heard or felt is that God himself decides to give it. This secret that is given is from outside of our realm of understanding. And as God told Isaiah, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither are his ways our ways. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts than our thoughts. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, this is one of my favorite sets of scripture. Paul writes, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." And I hope you can see where this is going. "That we might understand the things freely given us by God." And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, to the good soil, to the hearts who are ready to receive. The natural person does not accept the things of God, or does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. They are foolishness to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? So the spiritual things of God are spiritually discerned, and the natural person thinks that they're foolishness. This is the hardened path. It doesn't penetrate their hearts because it's too hard. They are not ready to receive it. They can't because they don't understand it. The only way to understand what Jesus is talking about is to have it revealed by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way. If you're listening and do not believe Jesus to be the Messiah and yet claim to understand this parable, I would say to you that you do not understand this parable, because understanding in this context is done with much more than just your brain. Understanding spiritual things is also a gift from God, in that when he gives you understanding, he places in you the desire to act upon that understanding. The first act being obey and believe the gospel. Everything about God and his interaction with you is to be life-changing for you. Understanding the parable of Jesus is not only exercising your brain. It is not simply collecting information and retaining it. This is very, very different. Understanding is submitting the heart to receive it and then actively living in accordance with his perfect will. That's understanding. And he gives that to us. Jesus' response to the question of his disciples is an incredible gift into the mind of God, which no one can attain. We are easily amazed at the knowledge of the highly educated and the intellectual, and maybe our brains hurt when someone starts to talk about something we have no clue what they're going on about. But we are amazed at the capacity of which they can remember details and recite them. I, for one, am terrible at that, and so it definitely amazes me when someone goes into what interests them and they just know all of these details. And so we are easily amazed at that kind of stuff. But this gift of understanding that Jesus brings, that he gives, brings to nothing all the knowledge that we could possibly attain in our lifetime or even in humanity's existence. He gives the secret of the mystery of the kingdom of God, and all we have to do is ask. And so what is the mystery that Jesus is referring to in this passage? Very, very shortly and very short, he is the mystery. He is the mystery. God made flesh, grace personified, heaven come down to earth is the mystery. He is the long-awaited fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning the Messiah that was given to the Jewish nation. And all of what we read in the Old Testament is a setup for his arrival. It all points to him for his revealing. What is the first message that Jesus preached? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is intimately close. It has come to you. Now, I think the weight of that is mostly lost on us because of the culture that we are born into. But the reality of Christ's appearance and the message at the time that he walked on the earth was shocking to those who heard it from his lips, because he was proclaiming something that they had learned about throughout their entire heritage. It was passed down to them. And I'm sure that for a lot of them, it just became stories. You imagine waiting for, hundreds and hundreds of years for a promise to be fulfilled, and you pass it down to your kids and pass it down to their kids and so on, that eventually just becomes a story. And Jesus shows up and he now says that he is the fulfillment of all these stories, of all that God promised. He is here. It's like I can't believe this is happening in my lifetime, And this is a shocking message to the people who are hearing this. The mystery of God's kingdom, his plan of redemption and reconciliation, is revealed in Jesus, and the only way we can receive it is by his hand.